wants to be my enemy. Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend and yours, Mr. Peter Marsh.
Oh yes, Imagine Dragons, man. If they ever lose the lead singer, they got you.
Let me tell you something about Imagine Dragons.
Yes.
They're kind of like Creed in the way that everybody has agreed to make fun of them. We've all agreed that they're lame and we should make fun of them. But whenever I hear an Imagine Dragons song, like a day later, it's in my head, and I'm like, "Oh, the misery." And so there's something to them. There's something to
Yes.
them. And you know
Yeah.
what? The music in Arcane, in general, is incredible.
There are some amazing montages where they just pick some random song I've never heard of ever. Sometimes it's in a different language.
Yeah.
And just the imagery they use combined with that song, it's just like, what the fuck? This show is like on another level.
Yes, it is. Just
Yeah.
like PCMC is on another level. This is PCMC. Today, we are talking about Arcane Season 2. Last week, we talked about Arcane Season 1. Typically, on this show, what we do is, I'm sure you figured this out before, we record two episodes at a time. That's why, whoever the guest is always repeats 2 weeks. But we needed time to watch Arcane Season 2. So, actually, even though you heard the Arcane Season 1 episode last week, me and Peter recorded them weeks apart. And I always have two ways of approaching PCMC episodes. I either go in with nothing, I just my own reading of what we're talking about, or I go deep dive and I try to get a read as much as I can and watch as much as I can to get a idea of the discourse. And that's what I
Yes.
did for season two of Arcane because I found it a little confusing. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but it's a dense text and nothing is spoon-fed to you. Things that are very important, you have to remember. So I watched a lot of videos. I listened to a lot of podcasts. There's a great channel called what's his name? Entgrove, which is all it's a League of Legends YouTube channel that covers the games too. And he had really interesting deep dives on the show. And I listened to the Ringer podcast, and I really like have been inundated because there's a huge discourse about the show online.
Well, did you learn anything about like the behind the scenes and the people that like made this show and like their vision?
Yes. I've heard a few interviews with the creators, and well, I want to know what did you how did you come to the show? Did you watch a bunch of shit? Did you not? Did you find this text confusing?
I did. And to me, it feels like maybe there was the potential for a third season, and they were just like, oh, let's take a third season and just shove it into a second season, too.
Yes.
You know, it feels like it's like three acts, but they shoved it into two acts, basically.
Yes, I agree.
How to come onto the show? I think I checked out the first episode a really, really long time ago when there was just one season. And I thought it looked really great. And it was intriguing, but there was always so much stuff to watch when I had my YouTube channels and my podcast where it's like, oh, well, we need to cover this now. We need to cover this. So I didn't take the time to watch everything. And then you said, like, hey, what do you want to cover? And there was so much buzz about this on social media at that point. You know, people were just talking about this. They still are at this point talking about this new season. So we've agreed to watch this. And then I was just like really, really glad that I did. I got into the show, like the interest in it grew episode by episode. And by the end of the first season, I was like, oh yeah, well, I definitely need to watch the second season of this. I'm very excited about like the choices that they make when they make an episode of this show. You know?
I
Like
agree with you on I wish it had more than 9 episodes. The double-edged sword is that the show does amazing montages. They do almost like it's almost like music videos. They get a really great song and they choose an animation style that's typically different from the main animation style.
Right.
It could be watercolors, or it could be, line drawings, or kind of like almost like stills, like moving stills. Like they pick some interesting way to depict something, but which is gorgeous. But the double-edged sword is with every montage, they are skipping over a large part of the narrative that they're not showing us, which
Yes.
is the problem. Like I wrote a lot of this that like at one point there's an episode, I forget what episode it is, where they're playing us, it begins with a montage called like Paint the Town Blue, which is basically depicting that like Jinx is becoming a folk hero and other people starting to dress like her and act like her. But then like the next thing you know, like there's a whole gang of people called Jinxers.
Yeah.
And it, notice there's a lot of, in season one, there's a big time jump between when they're
Right.
kids and adults. There's a lot of time jumps in this. There's a huge amount. There's a time jump when they make the task force in the beginning and then they start going through the underworld and causing trouble. There's a time jump there. There's a time jump after Vi and Caitlin break up. And we see a cool montage of Vi becomes like a prize fighter.
Yes,
And
yes.
I really like the design of her there, that she has like black hair and like leather jacket and like black streaks on her face. But all of these are time, all of these are like, I wish we saw some of that in the
Yeah,
narrative.
I completely agree. Actually, when they do that montage with Vi, I thought at first that was a new character that they were bringing in because her hair is dark and she's got like really thick makeup on. I wasn't sure that was Vi. I mean, pretty quickly I realized, I was like, oh, it's Vi. It's just like she's changed her look a little bit. But they just kind of show this fighter, you know, going through some intense matches, and you're like, oh, this is like a new person they're going to bring onto the show.
Right.
But no, I wanted to like piggyback on what you were saying because the show is not like repetitive. There's
No.
certain like themes or like plot points that you'll see over and over again. Sometimes they get a little annoying or cliche, but as far as like visually, they always do some kind of different type of song in a different musical genre, and then they have like a different animation style, like you said, where it's like watercolors or it's just still images.
Yeah.
But it's like you could tell that that was what excited the creators. They're like,
Yes.
oh, we're gonna get to do this cool sequence. And what I keep thinking about when I watch this show is, what's it like when you play the video game so much and then you watch this show? Like, I don't have any kind of equivalent because this particular style of video game I actually don't play. Like,
Right, me neither.
I've played definitely like kind of side-scrolling you know, fighting games like Mortal Kombat, Injustice, Street Fighter, that kind of shit. And when I think about this show, I'm like, okay, when they have these crazy battles between two specific characters, I'm
Yeah.
like, that's probably like something that you can have when you play the game, like, right? Because the way the game
Right.
works is that like you're essentially like in like a closed off arena and you're playing a specific character, but I think there's like multiple characters at
Yeah, I think
once.
it's like a melee kind of situation.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, okay, so like I don't know anything about the gameplay, but it's like, you know, you go to play a match and they're like, oh, there's Jinx and there's Vi, and then there's this like, you know, werewolf creature, and then there's, you know, Singed, because I know that like some of these characters are in the game itself.
Yeah.
Like I know Singed is in there, Jace is in there, Victor's in there. So like, can you have this battle where it's like you're Victor and like you have to be that woman that has the arm too. I guarantee she's in it too. What's her
Sabrina.
name's? Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. It makes you want to kind of play the game, but I don't have time, and I probably couldn't play on my computer
And
either.
the game has a huge amount of lore to serve as backstory, but there isn't, it's not a narrative game. It's just a fighting game. So,
Right.
not to disparage it, but you would think that big fans of the game would be kind of frustrated with the show, but
Right.
I think the show is so well made that the fans love it the way everyone else does. I mean, I think the fans, I mean, I've heard that the fans want the game to sorry, want the game to accept the canon of the show because
Right.
that's how good it is. And I think there were little things that you and I wouldn't know, like Echo in the game, his major move is that he can rewind time 4 seconds. So you and I don't know that. So, but if you're watching the show, if you're a fan of the game, they probably see it coming. They're like, oh boy, this is it. He's gonna do it.
Right.
But I don't think it takes anything away from what we, our relationship to it. I think it's,
No.
yeah. And what's interesting is we were talking last time about how to, we're living in, you said we're living in a great time of adapting video games. I think
Yes.
the big difference we see here is, it's not an adaptation from without. The two main people behind the show, Alex Yee and Christian Link, worked for Riot. This is their first thing in outside of video games. So when you do it yourself, you would think that maybe it would be too faithful, but it's not. Like they really, went for it in terms of making it a very dense and serious narrative. But it works so well.
It reminds me so much of The Last of Us because The Last of Us has this incredible story for a video game, and then the people that like made the video game and wrote the script of the video game are the people that are working on The Last of Us show, you know?
Yes.
And
Yeah.
it is this like amazing time where they adapt everything. You know, it's funny you brought up this point about Echo. I did a lot of research when we did the first recording, but I didn't want to spoil anything. But there are changes between the show and the game.
Yeah.
And one change is that Echo is not actually an orphan in the game the way he is in the show. He
Yeah.
lives with his parents, and his parents, I think, work in a mine. They like work really, really hard. And so he actually uses his power, the power that we see in the second season, where like he can kind of like reset time and then he could have the moment over again, right? He does that with his parents like every night where they come home from work and they're exhausted, and he uses his device to essentially like have a prolonged period of time with them at night after they've been like working in the mines all day. It's supposed to be this
Interesting.
like really sweet backstory for this video game character, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. But I gotta tell you, in episode 7, which is one of the big episodes everyone's talking about,
Right.
I was really moved when he like hugs Benzo, the person who raised him.
Yep.
We should say spoiler alert for all of Arcane.
Oh yeah,
I haven't
probably,
said
yeah.
it yet.
Yeah,
But we haven't really gotten into anything crazy yet. Okay, there's so much to talk about. We can't really go through it episode by episode, but there's so
right.
much big, and it's the thing is the show is about threads anyway. There's a lot of main characters. There's a lot of characters with names and stories that you're following. I want to talk a little bit about Mel Madara because when we talked in episode 1, I was saying that I like her character, but her character, I wasn't totally sure where her character was going or what her character was doing.
Right.
And we see in season 2, there was a great plan for her character. And in fact, her character is probably the one who we will see again because they're done with Arcane, but they're not done with League of Legends making series. And the next series they're working on is a series that takes place in her country, Noxus. And they've said that Mel will be in it. So there's going to be this particular series is over, but there's going to be more spin-offs and stuff. What did you think of her storyline and how it went?
Okay, that's really interesting. I didn't know there was any more of this show coming. I thought this was kind of done. But no, that's really interesting. No, if we're going to talk about her, then we need to talk about her mother. And it's funny
Yeah,
because
Ambessa.
Ambessa kind of fills the Silco role in the second season where there's
Yeah.
like, you know, there's so many fucking characters, but if we're going to say like the big bad or like the kind of the main antagonist, like Silco's the main antagonist in the first season, and then Ambessa's like the main antagonist in the second season.
Yeah.
And I
And
think
then it
she's
kind of becomes Victor out of nowhere, to me at least.
yes. Then that's why I was saying before it feels like it's maybe like three seasons crammed into two, right? Because all this Victor stuff, and there's a time jump with that too. But like, as far as Mel goes, yes. I mean, if we had a list of all the characters, she'd be like really low on my list as far as like characters that I was interested in or excited to like see another scene with. But then just like lore wise, they make it really interesting. And another thing too that this show has is that sometimes the design work or the way that something is showed makes it so much more compelling or interesting, regardless of like how deep the story is or how interesting the story material is, right? Like, there's all this stuff with this organization called like the Black Rose, which is like, I guess they're just sorcerers from Noxus.
I found I found it confusing. I watched season two twice and I watched a bunch of shit. I found the Black Rose stuff confusing the first time around.
Absolutely.
They're mages,
Right.
which we've heard about mages in the show, but they have a particular connection to what they call the arcane, which is like it's almost like the force. It's the magic in the world.
Right.
And they have access to a sort of like other world that actually reminds me a lot of Hellraiser,
Yep.
like another world of like pain and suffering, and their ability is like that they can bring you into that world, or they can let that world seep into our world. And we know from season one that her mother Embessa has some sort of conflict with the Black Rose, and that's how her brother died. But
Right.
we find out in this season, through like after like a pretty weird, confusing episode where she is like talking to her brother, but it's not really her brother,
Right.
that her mother had an affair with a mage, and she's a mage, or they call themselves sorcerers in the Black Rose. And she has, out of nowhere, like at the end of the show, she has crazy power, which is so interesting.
Yes.
And I always, she has this gold, these gold flecks on her face. And in season one, I couldn't tell if that was like makeup or like an actual like part of her skin. But in season two, when she like goes full mage, she has like much more gold in her. So I guess it is part of her skin.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So that's like another thing that we should talk about. I mean, there's so much fucking stuff to talk about the show. It's crazy. But like the design itself of the show is confusing, right? Because it's got this like steampunk aesthetic and it goes back and forth between feeling like modern to where they're playing like modern songs and stuff. They're playing like rap music. And then all of a sudden, like it kind of has this vibe of, I don't know, like maybe like pre-World War II kind of time where like they'll be playing like a record, but it'll be on one of those fucking like, what's the thing where like, it's coming out of like a big speaker, like a round speaker. Like, what's that called? Like,
Gramophone.
yeah, thank you. Jeez, I couldn't think of the name, the fucking name. But like, like there's that kind of vibe where it feels like it's either from like the 1930s or earlier, or it's from
Right,
like modern
it's
day.
steampunky, yet it's also like they have hex tech that could send you with late, like it's crazy. Like they don't have computers or cell phones, yet
Right.
they have like things that are more advanced than us.
Right. And then they have like hoverboards that can do all this kind of crazy shit. And like, these armor suits that look like they're something out of like, I don't know, well, like they look like they're out of like Mass Effect or something like that. And so just that in itself is like unsettling when you're watching the show because you're like, what time period is this? Like, what's the vibe? And then there's like characters that are all different kinds of races to where they're like giant fish looking people, there's regular humans, there's robots, there's so when you see a woman who has like it looks like gold like just in bed skin, you're like, oh, is that a fashion thing? Is she's like kind of cybernetic? Like it's just confusing, so I don't know. But I mean with the Black Rose, that's what I was talking about before, where like just the design of it makes it much more exciting to me than like what's actually happening with it, because it's very cryptic. They're basically saying like, oh, the mom wanted a weapon, and so she had sex with a mage so that they could have a mage kid. That's not as exciting to me as like when they ever they cut to their little sorcerer realm. It's always like a person's getting bound in these chains, and the color changes completely. It looks super painful. And then like the design of the Black Rose people is kind of cool too, where they look like they're kind of like wearing like a turban or something. You can't see any of their
It's all
skin.
black,
It's
yeah.
all black. Yeah, it's like kind of like a Sith kind of thing of like you'd picture like an ancient Sith, and their eyes are glowing yellow, and you're like, this is so cool looking, but it's like I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. And the show, you're rewarded for remembering every detail, every visual detail. At one point
Yes.
when the sorceress is kind of explaining to Mel what's going on. She keeps changing into different people that Mel knows. And then she becomes the form of a girl that we saw in a flashback in season one that Mel wanted to let go and her mother wouldn't let go. And it was all about like teaching her a lesson on you can't have mercy.
Oh
Like she, and but she doesn't even say, hey, look, I'm that girl. Remember me? Like, it's up to you, the audience, to remember that that girl would have significance. I mean, I've watched so many TikToks and YouTube videos like going into color theory and being like, you know, Vi is red and Jinx is blue, and then blue means this, and historically pink means, and it's just like, whoa, there's so much visual shit that's just like, wow, this sh it's just a dense show. It's so dense, but it's so great because I think people are gonna keep talking about it for a long time. It's one of the best animated series ever, which is crazy to say. I mean, that's why it took 3 years to do season two. Season one came out in what, 2021? And then we were all, and I remember, and I watched it at the time and liked it. And everyone was like, is this gonna happen? Is season two ever coming? We kept hearing like vague updates, and then it finally came. And I had to rewatch season one because I forgot everything. But clearly they didn't. Clearly they had a plan the whole way through. Like, it doesn't feel like season two is just like pulled out of their asses.
No,
It's clear
not.
that they had a two season arc already. But I think the show cost a lot. But I think Riot paid it, not Riot, you know, footed the bill, not Netflix. And I think they kind of were like, you know what? We're expanding the brand into something new. We're okay spending this money, because it'll get us. And I think, yeah, I mean, we'll see going forward what things look like. But
Well, that's the super interesting part, right? Is because when it comes to like video games and the video game companies being involved in the production of like a movie or a show, it kind of changes the routine that we know. Like we know the idea of like when a movie gets made, it's like, oh, it's based on a book, and so they're gonna get the rights from the writer and they're gonna bring in these people. But when like they make it based on a video game, the companies themselves that own the IP for the video game are like so wealthy, right? Because video games are so popular that like they could afford to produce something and make it with their specific vision, right? Like one thing I shared with you was a little stupid thread I put on Blue Sky, which was basically saying that like Arcane, and then Andor, and then also this obscure Transformers comic that like only like me and Brian are going to appreciate, but like more than meets the eye. It eventually gets called Lost Light. I feel like these three things are examples of when someone takes an existing IP and then they make it like very complicated to where like you've already said the expression, they're not holding your hand. Like that's what I feel like with this show and with these three examples I'm saying, where it's like they're not worrying about the common audience and like, you know, making it appeal to as many people as possible. They want to tell like a very specific story, and you can either be on board and know the details or you could be lost, but they don't give a fuck.
Well, this goes back to a conversation you and I have been having for a while, which we talked about when we, because we've done episodes on Power Rangers, we've done episodes on Ninja Turtles, and episodes on Masters of the Universe. And we've kind of said, like, there are these guys in their 30s, neckbeards that get upset whenever you change anything, and those are like the worst part of fandom. But then, if you actually want these, none of this stuff, whether it's popular or not, will last forever unless you let them adapt. Like, you know, Master Universe will go away, Ninjas will go away unless you change it. And I think that's what's fascinating to me. Like we've said before, like, Master Universe has never been better than it is right now. Because the original animated series was just really just a large commercial for the toys, whereas now they're actually taking these elements and using them to tell a story, and that's what they're doing with Arcane, and it's even their stuff. But even in their stuff, they're not super faithful. They're like, you know what? Let's make Zahn and Piltover together. Let's, you know, it's only hinted at in the game that Vi and Jinx are sisters. Let's make that canon. Let's change Echo, like you said. Like, so they're doing it kind of like with, you know, it doesn't have that long history like Ninja Turtles, but it's that idea of don't be afraid to bend it and shape it and change it. Like, that's what has to happen. Like, this is a
Right.
weird example, but you know, a couple years ago, Wednesday came out and it was super successful, especially with like young women. And I think if Wednesday hadn't come out, in 10 years, no one would know what the Addams Family is. Addams Families would have reached the end of its cycle, it would have died, and only people, old people, would have remembered it. But because Wednesday happened, and I know Wednesday's very different, and some older fans are like, ah, this is lame. Without Wednesday, Wednesday gave it another lease on life. Addams Family will continue to live in the public consciousness because of Wednesday, where it would have died.
Yeah, that is a really great example, though. Actually, I love that. And it's funny because, like, who's the guy that plays Gomez in Wednesday? That guy from Boogie Nights?
Luis Gomez. No, no,
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
no, Gomez's his name. Luis Guzman.
Guzman, right. It's funny because, like, my mom was one of those old neck beards for Wednesday because she was really into it. But then she'd be like, oh, but that Gomez. He's just not like what you'd expect for Gomez. You know, I think she's used to like Raul Julia and stuff, but
Well,
that is
that's the
a.
thing. Gomez is ugly in the cartoon and in the
Right.
comics, but then when the 90s movie, they were like, let's hire this crazy handsome man to be Gomez, and that's the way people think of him now.
Right. The super charismatic actor. Yeah. Yeah, I know, but that's a really great point that like you have to kind of change something and put like new blood into it, do something like wildly different to make it be relevant.
Yeah.
And it really works with this show. I don't know. I've heard before that the League of Legends fan base is actually very toxic. That like I've
That
heard
doesn't
people say,
surprise me.
But then like just to come at this from as like a complete outsider and know nothing about this game at all, and then watch this, you know, it's a very enjoyable experience. You know, it's funny because like my 14-year-old daughter. She's watching the show now, not because I told her to, but just because there's so much buzz about it and her friends are talking about it. And so, like, as I was watching the end of the show, she was like watching the beginning of the show. And I think at one point she was watching like episode two, like in the den, and I was watching, you know, the finale in my dining room, right? But
That's great. You can
yeah.
mansplain it to her. You'd be
Thanks.
like,
Yeah,
you know, honey, Vi
right.
is
And I can't wait till it gets to that point where there's like that hardcore like prison lesbian sex scene, you know? Like I think she's actually pretty excited about it too because you know, she kind of gets the idea that Vi and Caitlyn might get together, and I think she's kind of excited about that because like that's the whole thing, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons why the show is more popular than it could be or could have been is there's that whole like lesbian aspect of the show.
Yeah,
Like
sure.
the sort of the you know the Mulder Scully kind of thing of it, or you know Sam and
Will they,
Diane.
won't they? Yeah.
Well, yeah, between Caitlin and Vi, and you know obviously by the end of the second season, like you know they're an item. Like we see them have
Yeah.
sex in a jail cell, which I was like, oh, that's pretty
Great.
hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny too because like. For like fanboys and stuff, if you think about like who's the voice actors, you're like, oh, this is so much hotter. I mean, right? Because it's like Cho Chang is Caitlyn and Vi is Hailee Steinfeld, who she's like in like five different genre things too. You know, but then you're like, oh, but they're like teenagers. Like, never mind. You know,
No, they're
but
not anymore.
oh, I know. They're like teenagers,
We're
right?
old now. Hailee Steinfeld is, she just got engaged. She's like
Yeah.
in her late 20s or some shit, I think.
Right. But just to kind of like bring it back and give some cohesion to this, it's like that whole aspect of the show, I think, makes it more relevant to a bigger fan base because my daughter wouldn't be into this show without that aspect. Like that aspect
Right.
makes it more appealing to her.
It's interesting that the show is made by people who worked on the games, but they are not super faithful themselves.
Yes.
And that's so interesting because they see it as, you know, you have to look at all of these things as like clay or as like things that you can mold, you know, things that you can take and use as sort of signifiers that you could reconstruct in different ways.
Yeah. Well,
I
let
want to
me ask you.
talk, I'm sorry, go on.
Well, I was going to ask you a question about this, because I'm very curious about this myself. Like, whenever I think of a show, and if there's multiple writers, I always think that they have like a whiteboard. and they're writing on the whiteboard, and there's like these kind of points that are like,
Yeah.
this is the main point. We got to always stick to this, right? To me, it's hard to figure out exactly what that main point of the show is. Like when you
Huh.
did your research and stuff, did it help you figure out like kind of what's the main point? Like what's the specific story they're trying to tell?
I don't know. I mean, I think those are two different things. What do you mean by the main point? You mean thematically?
Yeah, I think like regardless of what we discuss, there always seems to be like, oh, they tell us this like lesson. There's this kind of theme
Yeah.
of like, oh, technology, you know, we can't rely on technology too much, it'll destroy us. Or like, you know, the freaks, the outcasts are the ones that are gonna really change the world. Like some kind of theme like that, yeah.
I think the show is about fate, but I think I like the way that it's about fate, because sometimes shows about fate are kind of like you can't, there's no free will. Fate will, you're gonna end up going where you are, where you're predestined to end up. And then there are some shows that are like, oh, you could change fate, you could change the past. I like this show because it kind of says fate is always there as a sort of like guiding hand, but there could be different changes happen within that. But then also there's a multiverse, and I know multiverses become a thing that they use just to combine IPs, like Spider-Man, the last Spider-Man movie. But this show is the way I think we should think of multiverses, which is like various chances at things. Like we find out in this show, halfway through the season, Jace, the person who created the Hextech stuff, the inventor slash guy who fights with a big hammer, he goes to this like post-apocalyptic future where the Hextech, the anomaly that's part of the Hextech, the Hex Gates explodes and kills everybody and kills everything. And Heimerdinger and Echo go to like another multiverse version of the present that they were in, where things are much better, which is its own whole episode that's great. But what Jace finds is, well, he finds first, which this really blew my mind. I did not see this coming. The when he was the we saw in season one, the reason he got excited about Hextech and magic is because him and his mother were saved by a mage. He finds out that that mage was Victor, who
I
was
know.
manipulating time. So, which blew my mind. I really did not see that coming.
Yes.
But then Victor says, "Victor, you know the video game has a lot of it about runes and how runes change your power, or whatever." We see that Victor gave as an remember in season one, the mage gives young Jace a rune. In the multiverse, there's a bunch of different runes he gives him, and finally he got, and it always end up the world dying. And then what we're seeing in the show is the right one, where he gave him the right rune that worked, and he was able to save the world. So it's this idea of you have do-overs, or at least you know there's some version of reality where things did work out. I think that's sort of where it's all sort of swirling the thematically. I think that's what we're getting at, because you know that means Jace's whole life was set up, you know, by Victor, and also Mel's whole life was set up by this conflict with her mother and the Black Rose. But then the Black Rose always wanted her to become who she is, and then there's also you know the fate of Vi and Jinx and who they were supposed to be and stuff like that. So I think it's about fate.
I think you're right as well. And just going along with what you were just saying, what I always find really interesting is that like the fates of multiple characters are somehow intertwined. You
Yes.
know, like that episode seven, it's funny, like I almost feel like we could have just talked about episode seven of this
Yeah.
show and like really unpacked it, because I feel like so much of like what the show is, like its DNA is in that episode.
Yes.
Right? Because like if you think about it, I was very confused when I was watching this, because I was like, well, what is the theme? Like, what's the main idea? There's so much going on in the
Yeah.
show, it's kind of hard to like break it down to a simple thing like you just did, right? But then what I like about that particular episode is they take one inciting incident, like one event, and essentially change that, and
Yes.
that changes the entire show. And then
Yeah.
that gives you an idea of, well, what are they working with on this show? Like, obviously, the inciting incident, the thing that sets all this in motion, this for this whole fucking world, is when the kids break into Jace's apartment in the first
Yes.
episode. Like, that's it. That's the turning point.
That's it. That is the turning point, 'cause it's in the timeline of the series, it's what starts the conflict between above and below. In
Right.
this alternative world, Vi dies.
Right.
It's also surprisingly in that timeline, Vander and Silco make up.
Right.
It's
It's
like It's a Wonderful Life, where in It's a Wonderful Life, he sees how horrible life would be if he killed himself, so it convinces him not to. In this, Echo sees how great life would have been if things were different, and how shitty his own life is.
yes.
And
There's such a
it's heartbreaking, because I don't know if he, had feelings for Jinx or whatever. He thinks of Jinx as his enemy. When he sees Jinx, he's like ready to fight, but then they're together in that other world and they kiss. And he gets to experience love, which is like so beautiful. And the name of the episode is, it's something like, I forget, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, pretend it's for the first time. Because when they go to kiss,
Yes.
he says that to her. And
Yes.
Heimerdinger wants him to have that experience. At one point, Heimerdinger's like, yes, well, I'll work on getting us home. You go and go to the party with her. So it's like he gets to experience like joy, like for one brief moment. It's heartbreaking and beautiful. It's crazy. Episode 7 is just incredible.
Yes. Yeah, it's really interesting because like everyone's life is significantly better. I mean, except for Vi, she's dead, right?
Yeah.
And Jinx lost her sister, but even with her sister being dead, her life is still way better than when in the real world, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And like all these people that have died, they're alive now and they're doing well. It's this great alternative reality, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, I thought that like Echo would actually want to stay in this world more, like really want to be a part of this world.
Right.
But I think, and then this is going back to themes. I was like, well, what's the idea here? Is the idea here of like you have to kind of have faith in like broken people, or like you have to give broken people another chance? And that's why he wants to go back to his regular reality so he can save like his version of people
It
versus just
does
stay in.
change the way he deals with Jinx. I mean, when he goes back, there's that scene that's both heartbreaking and hilarious, where Jinx has decided to kill herself. That's the way to save Vi's life, is to, because she gets a vision from Silco that says the way to end the cycle is to walk away. So she has a bomb, and she keeps trying to explode herself and kill herself, and then he keeps going back for a second. It's like, wait, let me talk to you for a second. And then she's like, no, and then she explodes herself. And so it's hilarious, but also like so sad that she's so determined to kill herself. But he would not have done that if he hadn't gone back. He would have not have seen that there was like good in Jinx to even try to speak to without having had that experience.
Right, exactly. It's like such a good episode, and I think that like we should talk about like that title, because like you said, it is called Pretend Like It's the First Time, and that just shows how different this show is from like everything else, and like kind of more mature and interesting, because that's something I didn't even consider. Like they go to kiss, and of course like you could just kind of read body language, you could tell the way the story's going, like, oh, they're about to kiss, right? But then he stops her, and you think he's going to say some kind of cliched line of like, I'm not the guy you think I am, or some kind of thing like that,
Right.
but instead he says, pretend like it's the first time. And I remember hearing that, I was like, oh, that's so clever, because it's like the first time for him, and
Right.
so he wants to experience it like that. And I just think it's so great, so deep.
And it's like it's kind of, even though it's this weird sci-fi world, he's experienced what the normal young person's life would be like. Like when you see that alternative world, it reminds you of how young, like, Jinx and Echo actually are. Like, in that world, they still like have re close relationships with their parents, and they're like in like a science fair.
Versus like that they're the heads of these like revolutionary armies and stuff, right? I want to point out before I forget too that some of my favorite fucking moments in this second season are at the very end when like they kind of show up for their heroic moments.
Yeah.
Like there's the part where like Ambessa's forces or like kind of Victor's forces are kind of rounding everybody up, and it seems like
Yeah.
it's the end. But then
Yeah.
all of a sudden, like Jinx shows up in like a fucking blimp,
Right.
and
Which
they're
is the
playing.
thing she's been living on through both seasons. It was there. It was always there. We
Yeah.
didn't know where, like, we didn't get, we saw, like, the fin of the blade that she lived on, but we didn't realize that's where she was the whole time. And
Yeah.
that's a big
This.
moment. The moment where fucking Maddie, who's a betrayer, Maddie is gonna shoot Caitlyn, and then fucking Mel uses magic to make the bullet come back and shoot her, and then Mel shows up with her
Oh.
magic. That's a huge crowd-pleasing moment.
Yes, that Maddie thing is a really great point to talk about too, because it kind of comes out of left field. You know, Caitlin and Vi go their separate ways. They're not really a couple yet. And then all of a sudden we see that like this enforcer, Maddie, is getting with Caitlin, and you're like, oh no, they can't get together. She's supposed to be with
Yeah.
Vi. But then she fucking betrays her,
Yeah.
like you said. Yeah,
And I've
when
been
she's
thinking about when did that happen? Like, did Umbessa from the very get-go put her in there as a spy, or
Yeah.
did she turn after, like, she had her heart broken when Vi came back? I can't figure out when Maddie turned.
Yeah, it's ambiguous, but I think that the way that they portray Ambessa, which like Ambessa is just like great in her voice acting, her design,
Yeah.
everything, like, compelling villain. I would read it like she was on her side like immediately, or like, you know, like right away, or that was her plan, was
Yeah.
to use her, you know, because she's so manipulative and cunning. I love all that stuff. I even love like little stupid things like just like Ambessa's right hand man. He's got like this real generic kind of name. His name's like Scraper or something like that. You know, he looks like Zangief from Street Fighter. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes. I'm looking for his name because I know I wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah. He gets killed kind of early on in the second season. But to me, it's like, okay, I always try to picture which of these people are the characters from the game, and who are made up for the show. And I'm like, oh, he's definitely got to be one of those characters for the game, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And I didn't know if like it, we haven't even fuck. I mean, there's so much to talk about with
Rictus,
this
his name
show.
is Rictus.
Yeah, Rictus. I said Scraper, but yeah. No, but there's like so much to talk about this show, and it's like we haven't even talked about the fucking like Vander werewolf
Yeah.
thing,
And that's
you
funny
know.
because you were saying in the last episode that Vander's a new character. He's not a character from the game, but Warwick is a character from the game. So they
Okay,
must
yeah.
have always been like, this is who he's going to become.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Well, there's a whole cool thing. We talked last time about how, like, the two major elements of the show are Shimmer and Hextech. And like, and I'm not the person who put this together. I heard a podcast where they put this together, but Warwick is sort of like the embodiment of where Shimmer will take you, whereas Victor is the embodiment of where Hextech will take you. And then they kind of merge at the end.
Yeah. It's so funny. Vander like dies and comes back like 15 times in this
Yes,
show.
yeah, that's true.
You know. Brian and I love Transformers, and there's a character called Cliff Jumper, and like they do shit to Cliff Jumper like the way they do shit to Vander in this show. It's like, you know, you think he's dead, it's like, oh, that's horrible the way he died. But it's like, no, they brought him back. But they're still gonna like fuck with his like sort of corpse body that he's in, you know?
Yeah.
Because like he dies after he's taken Shimmer and he's all hulked out. Then he's like melded with like a wolf, so he's kind of
Yeah.
like a werewolf, right?
Yeah.
That then
Two wolves.
yeah, two inside of us are two wolves, you know, and both of them like Shimmer. And so like his mind is gone. Then Victor's able to restore his mind. Then, like, Victor gets taken out by Jace, and he's just like this fucking, like, volcanic looking werewolf at one point.
Yeah.
Then you think he's dead. Then he's like this sort of like cybernetic werewolf at the very end.
Yeah.
It's fucking so convoluted. But I love all the stuff with Warwick and him
Yeah.
because it takes the show in a direction I was not anticipating at all, where it's like
Yeah, me neither.
Jinx and Vi and him, like as this family coming together.
Yeah, I did not think after season one, I did not think that Jinx was ever gonna slide back into a good guy.
Right,
Which is
ditto.
one of the things I like about the show is everybody's sort of ambiguous. Like people that were good in season one are bad in season two. In that episode seven, Echo says to Powder, Jinx in the positive world, he says, "I can't stop thinking about the fact that maybe the other version of you is the person you're supposed to be because that version inspires people, makes change," which is such an amazing way to think of Jinx as like actually like a folk hero, good guy,
Yeah.
and which is like from villain to that is such a huge change. But it makes sense. There's so much we haven't talked about Isha, the adorable little girl
Right.
that that Jinx like she's that's the beginning of her change when she starts to take care of Isha, she becomes a better person.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Heimerdinger's song.
No, there's so much. There's so fucking much to talk about. It's
I
only
love
nine
his song.
episodes.
I keep listening to it. It's like a Bob Dylan song. He sings like Bob Dylan.
He does. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, oh, that's another thing. I didn't watch anywhere near as many YouTube videos as you, man. But one person pointed out how like Jace, Heimerdinger, and Echo get sent through time in different points. So
Yeah.
like Jace is in the future, Echo's in the present, and then Heimerdinger is in the past. And
Yeah.
that all kind of matches their mindset. And then
Yeah.
like Heimerdinger, like essentially he just uses that time to kind of make the world a better place. And he's got this really great fucking song, like you
Yeah,
mentioned.
yeah.
And then he fucking dies too in this second season.
But you know what? I think he sacrifices himself for Echo, and I think he never wanted to leave. I think he was so happy in that other version of the world. And again, that's fate. Like he chose to be on the council and to build Piltover and to dedicate himself to that type of science. And then I think from the time in season one where he's kicked out of the council and he goes to the underground, he starts to like imagine his life as something different. It's
Yeah.
fascinating.
Yeah, and the way he goes out is very Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Right? Because he's like, oh, I gotta connect these two cords to help you with your time travel, right?
And
Yeah.
he feels guilt over Jace, which is why
Yes.
he helps Echo. He says like he says something to Echo like I couldn't not help a pupil again or something like that, like referencing like he feels like he fucked up with Jace. And
Yes.
it's about fate, it's about choices, it's about imperfection, which is the conversation that Jace has at the end with Victor.
Right.
Yeah, man, there's a lot there.
Well, that's to me, that's where I was like, oh, are they literally coming out and trying to say their theme at this point? Because it is so complicated that you literally need someone at one point to be like, this is what it's about. And so like there is that conversation between Victor and Jace, like you said. And to me, the Victor and Jace stuff, that was the most confusing to me. The Victor and Jace stuff. Like basically the Victor and Jace stuff and then the Black Rose stuff was the most confusing out of everything, right?
Well, now that your daughter's watching it, watch it with her. Because I
Yeah.
got a lot out of the second time I watched it.
Yeah. Well, just like with me, with Jace, Victor, it's like, okay, so Jace comes back and he like shoots Victor in the chest with his hammer. And it's like Victor seems like he's dead, but then it's like, no, he's not dead.
Right, he can
He's
embody other bodies at this point.
So like I was like, okay, like what is going on here? Is it like Victor is the bad guy? Is he the good guy? I was kind of confused. Like if
Well,
you could
that's a
kind of
great misdirect because we see that before episode seven. So we just see Jace come out of nowhere. He's got a beard. He looks fucked up. He kills that one council member, Salo, and then he goes and kills Jace. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck?
Right.
Because at that, I'm sorry, he kills Victor. And at that point, Victor just seemed like a good guy. And we were like, oh, what happened? And then they go back and you see everything that Jace went through.
Right.
And then we go back in the last episode and you see that actually Victor told him to do it. And he was keeping a promise to him to kill him. It's like, whoa,
Right.
it's so timey-wimey.
Right. And then, like, they don't. Okay. So here's another thing we should talk about, too, is the way the show ends, they don't explain everything and they don't hold your hand. to show the fate of every character. We
No.
basically get like Caitlin and Vi, but I don't think you see Victor or Jace, buddy, after last
No, they
battle.
kind of disappear though. I think they together kind of die.
Okay, they die.
Yeah,
Okay,
and
okay.
Bessa dies in Mel's arms.
Yeah, that part. Yeah.
Well, there's a big debate online of whether Jinx is really dead or not. Because,
Right.
yeah, the last thing
Good.
we see is Caitlyn looking at like blueprints and sees that there's like all these ducts where she like sacrifices herself by like jumping down this thing with Warwick. And then we see an explosion, but she smiles when she sees the ducts in the blueprint, so you get the idea that she thinks that she might have been alive. And I wouldn't be
Yeah.
surprised if she is. I wouldn't be surprised, especially like she's such a big breakout character. If the next season or the next series takes place with Mel and Noxus, I could see Jinx showing up somewhere.
Yeah, I 1000% agree. And it is very ambiguous as to like they don't show her like blowing up. Like a lot of times when someone like blows up in like a sacrificial way, they'll kind of focus on them and then it'll get like really bright to where it
Yeah,
just
yeah,
becomes
yeah.
all white. They don't do that. You just see this
Yeah.
explosion,
It's too
you
far
know.
away.
Right. So it's ambiguous. And then like, yes, they do show Caitlin looking over those blueprints, which I'm glad you pointed that out because I had no idea that. Like I was like, okay, that makes sense. The end of the show is just like this like airship flying off, and you don't see who's on it or anything, you know?
Right.
And you're like, well, what the fuck does this mean? This airship, is this like them going to another land? Like, what's going on? Who's on the airship?
Right.
Like, how'd
Yeah.
you interpret that?
I don't know. It's so dense. I don't know. Is it the same one that Jinx had, or is it a different one?
I think it was a
It's a
different
different
one.
one, yeah. I think I
Yeah.
interpret it as Mel. I think Mel is going back home, and that's what the next series is going to be.
Okay. Well, it's like, yeah, who's even fucking alive by this point, right? Because, you know, you mentioned Isha.
Echo's alive.
Right. So Echo's alive. Caitlin and Vi are alive.
They're the ones who have the most happy ending, Caitlyn and Vi.
Yes.
Heimerdinger's dead.
Right.
Jinx is, we could call her dead. Jace and Victor are dead.
Yeah.
Mel is alive. So just a handful are alive. Mel, Echo, Vi, and Caitlyn are the ones who are alive.
Yes. And then I'm sorry, remind me of the woman that was Silco's like right hand woman who literally had like a robotic right hand. What's
Tavika.
her? Yeah.
It
I actually.
happens fast, but she dies during the last battle.
No. Dude, she's like totally alive.
She is? I thought
Yeah,
she
because
died.
she's like on the council at the end.
Oh, I thought she died in that big battle at the end.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Like maybe she's
I don't
on the
know. It's
council.
so fucking,
Like
it's
maybe
so
she's on the
dense.
maybe she's on the council before that battle and then
Well,
she
there's a
dies.
scene where in the council room, you've got leaders from the underground and the above ground. And that's when Jace is like, hey, we all have to join together to fight Victor. And she's there for that scene for sure.
Yeah. And I could be wrong. I thought that at the very end it was like she was on the council and that was kind of showing that like Zahn and Piltover were like coming together.
Yeah.
Like it was an optimistic thing. I could be wrong. But like that's actually one of my favorite characters. I really love, especially in this season, when Jinx gives her an arm, like, and
Yes.
it has the sort of like slot machine,
Yeah.
like windows. I love that. So it's
And
like random.
fireworks and crazy shit on it.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I would definitely watch more of this show.
Absolutely.
And I would watch it again with my daughter too, just to kind of figure out what the fuck is going on. There's so
Yeah.
much to it.
You know, I something interesting I wanted to share with you, which is the one of the creators was interviewed on the Ringerverse podcast. And he said, you know, that sex scene is the interviewer was like, that sex scene's pretty wild. I mean, like, we basically see Vi go down on Caitlyn. And he goes, he asked him, like, you know, what made you go so far? And surprisingly, the creator was like, we went further. We had to cut it back because Netflix was like, you're going to lose your rating. You're going to have to be NC-17 unless you cut some of this shit back. So who knows
Wow.
fucking where it went in the
Yeah.
original cut.
Yes.
Go to
I might have.
DeviantArt to see versions of that.
Right, exactly. I was like, I'm gonna have to look this up. Yeah. No, but that's one of the appeals of the show because like it's animated, but it's adult in a lot of ways. Like they say fuck all the
Oh,
time.
yeah.
I mean, there's one thing that we should talk about, which maybe it's a little weird for two cis like 40 something year old men to talk about, but like I was actually kind of bothered by how sexual they made Jinx.
Interesting.
Like
Yeah.
because she's just like a teenager. I think she's just like
Right,
fucking
right,
like
right.
17 or something on the show,
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah. It's
And
weird because
yeah,
Jinx is, she
sorry.
existed before the show, right? And we said last time she's very much like Harley Quinn, which
Yes.
itself, Harley Quinn is kind of problematic because, I mean, they're both problematic in the sense that they are what they're like the manic pixie dream girl, but they're also like super broken and mentally unwell. And somehow that's
Yes,
hot.
yes, yes,
And but
yes.
I don't, if you go online, the amount of Jinx cosplayers out there is just
Yeah.
wild. I mean, it's
Yeah.
crazy. I always felt
Yeah.
uncomfortable in season one when Jinx would sit on Silco's lap.
Absolutely. Yes. That's a great example of what I'm talking about, where it's like he's supposed to be like her father figure,
Right.
but like it's weird because it's like it looks like kind of seductive too, you know?
Yeah. It's weird.
I don't know. They're French, so maybe like
Yeah,
this stuff's more common, right?
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So last time we talked about our favorite fights. What's your favorite fight in season two?
Oh, great, great question. I'm not sure if this counts as my favorite fight, but I really, really fucking love when Echo shows up with Jinx
Yeah.
at the very end. He's on his hoverboard and they're just like flying through the bad guys and just mowing
Yeah.
them down. I love that part.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, what about you, man?
I think I have a tie.
Okay.
You mentioned this one before. The fight between Savika, Jinx, and Smeech. Smeech
Smeech,
is like he's a Yordle or Jurtle. He's the same species as Heimerdinger, but he's like cyborged out. And he's one of the gang leaders that wants to take control. This is early in the season. And he tries to kill Jinx, but then Jinx fights back, and then Savika's there, and then Jinx gives Savika this crazy arm. That's great. And then I guess the other one would be at the end, Caitlyn and Mel versus M'Bessa. Because they're fighting together, but then we see they have a whole plan of like Caitlyn has to get up close to remove M'Bessa's runes that are protecting her. And then once she does that, Mel will send her to the Black Rose world. But then, and you think she's just going to leave her there to die or suffer. But then she comes into the Black Rose world and kills the sorceress that has been talking
Yeah.
to her, and then lets her mother free. But then the mother dies. So she kind of has she kills two birds with one stone. She frees herself from the Black Rose, which is what the
Right.
mother had always wanted to do but couldn't. And she also beats the mother. It's
Yeah.
really, it's real. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, they had a whole plan like 7 steps ahead. It's really cool. And just also all of the guards surrounding them, like live, letting them fight.
Yes. It's very like reminiscent of like the Imperial Guards from Star Wars, where they're all red and they're just on the side while people are dueling. And then also like in the movie Gladiator, at least the first one, I haven't seen the second one, where they're
Yeah.
just kind of watching as these two people duel. Yeah, it's got that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like aesthetically, it looks all cool. All the stuff like the Murdata stuff is like really cool, aesthetically. That sequence is very brutal too, because like Caitlyn's eye gets like kind of cut or like cut out.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple of sequences or like there's a couple of shots where M'Bessa's like holding a knife like right up to her eyeball,
Yeah.
and there's like a magic shield kind of blocking it, but then the shield gets dropped and her eye gets cut, but then she's also able Caitlyn's able to stab M'Bessa.
Yeah.
Or no. I don't know if she stabs her. I think she pulls the knife out of.
We don't see what she does, but then we see what she did was she used the knife to cut the runes off of her arm.
Okay.
Because she
Yes.
was
Yes.
using the runes to protect herself
From magic.
from magic. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, really great sequence. Really great. It's violent. I going back to the Savika match with Jinx and Smeech or whatever. I really love that sequence as well. We didn't really talk about this, but there's all these like chem barons, all these people that
Yeah.
are from Zaun, and they were like the underground, like the organized crime down there, and they all pretty much like get taken out over the course of the show.
Right. Which I
Just like
wish
all
you
the
had seen more.
right.
You
Like
see
all the
this montage of like a picture of all the Ken Barons and they all just disappear as they're taken out.
yeah, slowly over time. And then like it kind of mirrors it, right? Because on Zaun, in Zaun, all the Chem Barons get kind of taken out. Then like in Piltover, all the people that are on the council
Yeah.
eventually get taken out too, right? So there's that sense of like succession and the sense of like, oh well, this person leaves and the class war stays the same. It's just like a new person takes over. That's
Yeah.
another part of the show too. But what I really love about that battle that you mentioned is that the Saviga's arm is like a slot machine, and you don't know what kind of weapon she's gonna have or what power
Yeah.
she's gonna have. And then at the very end, I think she gets like three arc face, and it's
Yeah.
implied that like the arm like ate the guy, but you
Yeah.
don't see it because it's off screen, and you just
Yeah.
see their reactions. I love that.
Yeah, it's so great. I love the idea that Jinx is like Leonardo da Vinci. She's both artist and inventor.
Yes.
It's
Really great
really
comparison.
interesting. Yeah, we could just go for hours and hours. There's so much. I think it's such a great series. And I like that it's dense because it's like, I'm sure you're the same way. Like 99% of the time, even if you're really enjoying the thing you're watching, you kind of know where it's going to go. You've got a great media literacy, but this show is so dense and there's so many characters and storylines. I really didn't know where things were going. I was really watching like the way I would watch things as a child, like not knowing at all what was happening next. And I was completely surprised when Victor was the mage from the beginning. I was like, whoa. That blew my mind, which is like, if that were the only storyline, I probably would have guessed it. Yeah, I'm just want to see if there's. I don't want anything that's really big that tomorrow I'm like, oh, I can't believe I didn't see anything about that at all. So I'm just looking through my notes.
Well, I mean, while you're looking at that, you kind of made me think of a point that I didn't think of at all watching the show. But like, you brought up Ninja Turtles and He-Man and all that kind of shit. And the thing is, this actually is kind of reminiscent of Masters of the Universe, at least in an aesthetic way,
Yeah.
where there's like the ruling class, like the good guys, and they have that sort of that like kind of steampunk. It's like futuristic, but then it's also like medieval
Yeah.
aesthetic, and even the colors are kind of similar, where it's all like a lot of blue and gold and
Well,
stuff,
yeah, because think about it, Masters Universe began as action figures, and League of Legends began as a fighting game. So when you're creating the fighting avatars, what are you doing? You're really just creating distinct visual looks like an action figure, and then you build the backstory after. So it's the same idea of like starting with the visuals and then filling in the story after.
And that's the interesting thing too, because like we didn't even talk about like Singed and how like he made Shimmer and stuff and where he got Shimmer from, and he was doing it to save his daughter, and his daughter's alive by the end of the show. There's all this kind of crazy shit in there. But like Singed, that's a great example of if you're making a fighting game and you're making a character like, oh, he looks interesting, or like, let's make like some kind of evil mad scientist character to play as. But then
Right.
he's like a vital part of the lore of this fucking show.
Right. And we find out that he created Shimmer to bring his daughter back to life, which he does at the end of the show. It's so fast. It's like, holy shit, he did it.
It's a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing. Yeah.
And
It's
it's like
very
Darth
rem
Vader, right? I mean, you end up creating all of this drama because you're trying to reverse death.
Right, right. Yeah. It's funny you say Darth Vader. I'm thinking like Mr. Freeze, because
Yes,
she's
yeah,
like,
well, yeah.
but it's all kind of the same thing. The show is like just so complicated. We could have easily have overlooked that in our discussion, you know?
I was just looking through, and there's one thing that I think we know that, what we know from interviews that they want to do a show next on Noxus, and they said they're working on multiple shows. I think that this will be, Arcane will be sort of like the beginning of this because. There's one line that the sorceress says to Mel where she says, the arcane is waking up, which to me feel like she could be talking about Victor, but to me, when I was watching it again yesterday, I was like, that feels like somewhat of a setup for what's coming. And also the it ends, we see this crow with three eyes.
Yes,
That's a
yes.
reference to some character that I don't even know from the game.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So that character, like fans of the game, saw that character, saw that crow, and were like, "Oh shit, what's this?" So they are hinting at things to come, because Runeterra is
Yes.
this big world with all of these different, lands. So, we're gonna see what happens.
Yeah, it's funny because like I didn't do research for this second set of episodes, but I did research for the first. And when I would watch videos on League of Legends or like the lore of Arcane, it was always funny because they would always go back to like the beginning of creation, and they would
Yeah.
talk about how like there's these dark creatures called like the Watchers, and like it's like so complicated and so dense that it feels like we're just seeing one small part of it, you
Yeah.
know? Like I think like just to kind of give you like a metaphor, I feel like all the stuff that's in League of or in Arcane is like the equivalent of like the cantina scene in Star Wars, where it's like but there's all of Star Wars outside of it too, you
Yes,
know?
exactly right. There's so much more. And
Yeah.
I hope that it's good, I mean, 'cause I've grown fans of the show and not the game have grown to love these characters and grown to love this setting.
Yeah.
Hopefully the other stuff is just as compelling. But we'll see. It'll be years before this stuff happens, 'cause it takes them so long to do it. But
Yeah, man.
it's really an interesting franchise.
Yeah. And I'll fucking come back on your show to talk about any version of it, you know, when it comes out.
Absolutely. Peter, thank you so much for being here.
Of
You
course.
could find Peter at the grocery store.
Hey, I think the LazerCast is still out there. Danny's still making videos and stuff if you ever want to check out that channel.
What's Brian doing?
Just his 9-to-5 job that he does.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, you could check out like the stuff that we've made on Comic Books Transformed or the
Oh yeah,
LazerCast.
I'm very proud of the we covered all of the last season of Doctor Who. We've done a lot. I personally came on and did some good stuff there. So,
Yeah, I mean, I would love to just keep that going on your channel. Like, if you wanted to talk about Doctor Who on your channel, you know? Or like if there's another Master of the Universe thing that comes out, we can always talk about it on your
we'll
show
see. It's
too.
very off-brand for PCMC to cover things that are new and current. We like for things to be either like 40 years old that no one cares about, or like
Right.
something that was po like Arcane, like something that was really popular like a month ago
Right,
and
right,
now nobody
right.
cares about. That's really the brand for PCMC.
Okay, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Or like Universal Monsters from like the
Like we really want to make sure that nobody cares.
yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye.